Peter Horton is leading us this morning. Peter is in collegiate ministries. He has a prayer focus for the Wisconsin Upper Michigan Division, and he is joined by two students, Dean and Steffi. We'd like to welcome students as well as Peter. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger, for the opportunity to come and share, and thank all of you. Not just for the opportunity to come and share, but I don't know how often people do this, but thank you for all that you do. You may not always feel like you're a part of ministry on campus, but you really do make it possible for us, Jen, myself, and others, to be in ministry on campus, on campuses like the UW-Madison. Today I want to share with you just a little bit about what's been happening, and specifically in my area of prayer at the UW, because some really amazing things happened this past semester. I just switched my role. I'd been campus staff, then the area director, then campus staff again, and now I'm a prayer specialist, as Roger said, focused primarily on Wisconsin and Upper Michigan. And I came today to share with you about prayer, and I also brought with me Dean Chamberlain, who's on the leadership team for the undergrad chapter, and Steffi Redinger, who's a small group leader for the undergrad chapter as well. So thank you for coming. Now, I wanted to start to give you just a little bit of context for kind of where the Lord has taken us this past semester. I've been meeting with a group of students on Monday nights over the summer, and they're not just InterVarsity students. They're students that are involved with another ministry on campus called Chi Alpha. We're exploring together how intercession and intimacy connect and how to grow in both of those areas. And recently we studied Exodus 33, and I wanted to share just a portion of that because I thought it was really important and significant for where we're going. Is it up? I see it over there, but I don't. Okay. Ah, there we go. Anyway, before I read this portion of this chapter, I wanted to give you a little background. I mean, most of you probably know this story, but for all of us, this is an incident that happens immediately after Moses is up on Mount Sinai. He gets the Ten Commandments, among other things. The Lord is telling him what is required in order for the Lord to be present with them, how the people are to be a great nation, and how to live with God's presence among them. And while this is happening, the people grow restless. Who knows what? They figure out Moses isn't coming back. And so they have Aaron make an idol for them, another god, in the shape of a golden calf. They begin to worship and this idol, and God's anger burns against them, and he sends Moses down to tell them, I'm about to wipe you out. Anyway, Moses intercedes on their behalf, prevents them from being wiped out, but then God says this to Moses. He says, and it's not up here, but he says, go ahead and go to the land that I promised your forefathers. I'll give it to you, but I'm not going to go with you. If I go with you, I might destroy you. And this is how Moses responds. Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And then the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you and I know you by name. Now, I just wanted to point out what I see here and two things that are really significant and important. First, Moses understands something that is really key and crucial for the people of God, not just for back then, but for us today. And that is that it's not the land that they'll possess that's going to make them into a great people. It's their relationship with the Lord. It's his presence with them. Without him, they're no different than anyone else. He knows this from his own personal experience, as he himself has been transformed from a lowly shepherd into the leader of a great nation by the Lord himself. And so what differentiates the people of God? What makes them significant? What gives them purpose and identity? What will turn them from slaves into a great nation? It's not their land. It's not their freedom. It's God's presence with them. So he boldly requests that the Lord would not abandon them and the Lord would stay with them. And God says, yes, I'll do exactly what you said. And here's my question to you. Why? Why does he say that? Why does he respond? I'll give you two. There are two reasons in this. If you look at verse 17, he said, I'll do the very thing you asked. First, because I am pleased with you. I think he was pleased with Moses because Moses was asking for exactly what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted to be with his people. The Lord knew that they needed him. The Lord wanted his people to be dependent upon him, and that's what Moses was asking. from the Lord. And secondly, he answered it because he had an intimate relationship with Moses. What I don't show here is a verse before this that talks about the tent of meeting. It's kind of thrown in the middle of this passage. And the important part of that is there's a verse that says, the Lord spoke to Moses like he would a friend. He had this intimate relationship with Jesus, and that was key. And this, and now to transition, what does this mean for us, for the students on campus at the UW? Well, they're just beginning to figure this out. They're just beginning to recognize that they can't do this work, this mission, this the purpose that we've called them to be transformed, to renew the campus, and to become world changers without God's presence, without the power of God with them. And secondly, they're beginning to realize that they have this personal relationship with Jesus, that God knows them by name, and that they can experience the same kind of intimacy. And so this past semester, students began to pray. They spent time with the Lord developing intimacy and boldly asked the Lord to have mercy, not only on themselves, but on their campus as well. And the Lord has been answering their prayers. Let me tell you what happened. Some of you may know this, but at the beginning of this past semester, the Lord laid on my heart the desire to establish a prayer room on campus and to set aside a season of prayer where all the campus ministries would come together and seek the Lord's face as one. And so I began to go to the different ministries on campus, and I went to Campus Crusade first because they're the largest ministry. And what I found out was that many of the students and campus ministers had already had this desire laid on their heart by the Lord. I knew it was from God. And so I went to Crusade. They were thinking of doing a prayer room, and they were going to do it for 1 week. And I said, let's do it for 40 days, and will you let me lead it? And Crusade said, sure, you can lead it, and here's a staff. They gave me one of their staff members to partner with me. Within just a few weeks, I had over 20 students from different campus ministries, Campus Crusade, Chi Alpha, CAM from Blackhawk, and the NAVs and InterVarsity, and several staff form a team in order to build this prayer room. We spent 6 weeks praying and asking the Lord what this room was supposed to look like. And from that, we built it. I wanted to show you just a picture. That's just one view of the room. We built this at Faith Community Bible Church. We spent about 2 weeks building the room, and then for 40 days, for 24 hours a day, the students prayed. It was amazing. Let me share this. This is a brief testimony from the president of InterVarsity Undergrad, Zach Stolfus. He sent this to me because I asked him to write something up. Zach was actually on the team that built this room. He said, InterVarsity Undergrad at the University of Wisconsin-Madison has seen a lot of changes this semester. God has been moving in powerful ways, in part due to 40 days of 24/7 prayer. Christians from all over campus and the surrounding area showed up, and testimonies abound to what God did in and through the prayer room and in the lives of students and even at local churches. As the 40 days began and students began to pray, changes started to take place on campus. Christian students began to receive a heart for prayer and intercession and would spend hours at a time in the prayer room waiting and watching for God to show up. But it didn't end there. As students began to wake up to the power of prayer and an intimacy that could be found with God in the place of prayer, they started to bring other students along. God was raising up watchmen, people who longed to pray and intercede for the campus, and now he was using them to wake other students up to the power of prayer and to their own call, of people who will wait on and watch for Jesus' return to the hearts of students on campus. He said this, throughout the 40 days, our chapter saw God moving in unprecedented ways. Students encountered God, and many left with new freedom to worship, a passion for God's word, and a zeal to hear it proclaimed. Now, I've invited Dean and Steffi to share, and I'm going to let them share a little bit about what happened with prayer in the chapter this semester.
Dean, you're first.
I'm first, okay. My name is Dean. I'm a fifth-year undergrad student majoring in civil engineering at UW-Madison. And as Peter said, I've been on the leadership team for our chapter for this past year, and I'm also on the leadership team for the upcoming year, too. So Peter enlisted me to just give a little bit of my testimony from what God's been doing in my life through prayer and through the prayer room this past semester and year. And also I'm going to share just a little bit about what our community has also experienced, too. For me personally, this past semester, God has really expanded my concept of prayer, and it's transformed it into a more of a broader intercessory kind of prayer. Prayer for other people who I don't even know, prayer for bigger stuff than I'd even know what's going on. But also for personal issues that I'm dealing with in my life, and also for my campus. So God's kind of got me out of my box of things to pray about. I also was the prayer coordinator this past year for our chapter, and part of that role is that I was kind of oversaw our prayer and worship nights that we had on campus. We had our prayer and worship nights at FCBC, and two of them were in the prayer room while the prayer room was going on. And through the course of the year, God really taught me how to make sure that these things, like these prayer nights, that that what the balance of structure and what the balance of spirit led kind of stuff is. So that ended up looking like things not going exactly to my plan, but like people being touched through the prayer room, and it was really, really cool for me to see. My personal times in the prayer room were times of really peace, and I could really sense that God really wanted to meet me there one-on-one, and that God ended up speaking to me a lot about his plans for my life through prayer this past semester in the prayer room, and also just on my own, not even in the prayer room. So that's my personal experience about prayer this past semester. I also have heard numerous stories about how God's been touching people in our chapter through the prayer room and through prayer. Spiritual gifts have come up a lot in our chapter this past year, and through prayer and through laying on of hands and through God really working in our chapter. I know of at least three girls in our chapter who have experienced the gift of speaking in tongues this past semester. Other spiritual gifts have been cropping up, so to speak, and it's been really cool. People have been seeing what God's blessed them with as far as spiritual gifts goes. There have been a lot more spirit-led promptings for prayer, like people would just go up to other people and say, hey, I think God is laying on my heart that I need to pray for you about such and such a thing, and they'd be like, yeah, that's definitely what I need prayer for. So the Spirit's been leading people to do that kind of stuff. And then as far as a community in general, I feel like there's a lot more of a hope for a campus renewed. And like we say that as part of our vision statement, but like it's really hitting home for people in our chapter that with God and with his presence in our chapter and on our campus, like our campus can be renewed. And there's real prayer happening toward that goal. There's prayer for bigger things, like I've experienced, like God's transforming my prayer into bigger things. Like, I feel like that's, a lot of people are getting the same thing. And there's a lot more focus on intercessory prayer, like Peter mentioned. And also, as Peter mentioned, like through the prayer room starting and through just people experiencing God, there's been a lot more of an emphasis on unity in our campus too, through InterVarsity and through other campus groups. So that's all I had to share. I'm just going to Steffi to come share too.
Hi, my name is Steffi Redinger. I am with the undergrad chapter at UW. I will be a sophomore in the fall. I'll be a small group leader, and I don't have a major at this moment. So my story is kind of a personal one, and I get nervous when I talk, so if I start talking really fast, just like put up your hand and I'll slow down. I grew up, there's some background. I grew up in a Messianic Jewish household, which means that I'm Jewish and I believe that Jesus is my Messiah. And coming into college, I had a goal. I was going to find a Messianic group of students, and it was going to be awesome. And we were going to reach out to the huge Jewish population that is on our campus. And that failed because there isn't one, a vocal one, of group of Jewish believers at UW campus. And I knew a lot of my friends go to Moody Bible College in Chicago, and there's a huge community there. And I got super jealous, and I got super angry that I couldn't find one here. So I started sharing with people like one-on-one, because I'm not good at like announcing things to group, like, let's go do this. So I was like, I'll just do one person at a time, and in like 5 years, I'll touch everybody, and it'll be good. And so by like December, I was kind of pushed down. Like, I talked to maybe five people by then about how I was excited about and I had a heart for Israel, and that we had to be reaching out to the Jewish community on our campus, and that was very important. But I didn't know how to say it to everybody or even stand up in front of our chapter and be like, I'm excited about this, let's do this, please. And so I kind of let it go and didn't think about it for a while. And then for the prayer room, February or whatever it was, we had a like all campus worship night, and I didn't want to go because I had like a test the next day. I was like, I'm not going. And my small group leader was like, you're going. So I went and I sat next to my small group, and like half of the night, like each, we'd have like worship and then we'd stop and they'd explain the station of the prayer room and then we'd have more worship. And so like half of the night, someone stood up. I was like, we're gonna have a station about interceding for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. And I was like, awesome. And it's right here. And so then I got really excited because here was a way that God had like given everybody to know about it and I didn't have to do anything. And so I kind of stepped back. And then a couple days later, I was at the prayer room and it was totally God saying, yes, I've announced this to everybody, but that doesn't mean you can step back and be like, awesome, God did it, I don't have to do anything. So then the next 39 days or whatever was left of the prayer room was phenomenal, of getting to stand up in front of my IV chapter through this doorway of it being announced that we're gonna have this, and say, this is very important to me, this is something we need to be praying about, this is something you need to be passionate about. And it was amazing the amount of people who said that they hadn't even thought about the Jewish people as a group that we needed to be thinking about or reaching out to on our campus. And so it was just amazing that God gave us this opportunity to come together and gave me this opportunity to talk to my IV chapter, talk to my friends in other places on campus about this thing that was going, and all the people that I got to see really excited about it, and other people who were going to, get excited with me, then continue that into the next year. So already, like, plans getting built up for next year, for like stuff in the library mall area is really exciting. So yeah, that's what happened for me in prayer.
Thank you. Steffi actually isn't alone. One of the things that's come up through this prayer room is the fact that we really have no, there's no ministry on our campus towards Jewish students. And I don't know if you know this, but here's a fact that'll blow your mind. There are 5,000 Jewish students at the UW-Madison. With no witness, to tell you the truth, when I heard that, I was really cut to the core, and I had to repent. Jen and I worked with Greek students on campus. I transitioned, and she's in charge now, and she's doing a great job, by the way. Just want to say that. But one of the things I realized was the Greek students especially have probably one of the best inroads to reaching out to the Jewish community on campus. Many of the houses where we have students in are mainly or largely Jewish student filled. And when we talked about reaching Jewish students in the past, our response had always been, oh, well, there's nothing that we can do. And so I really had to repent of that. And Lord's connected me with a number of people on campus that have a heart for reaching Jewish students. And I don't know if InterVarsity's ever considered this as the next strategic focus. But we really do need a strong ministry to begin to reach out to Jewish students, not just here at the UW, but across the nation. And it's the Lord's desire, is it not? Does he not want to see the Israelites, the people of God, the Jewish people, come to know the true Messiah? Just wanted to throw that in there. So. There were many other answers to prayer, and some are still in process. With the Greek chapter, I wanted to share a brief story. Is it 5 years, I think, that we've had Greek IV here on campus, and I can't remember once when we ever had an evangelistic outreach, because the group's always been so small and felt pretty, forgive the word, but impotent, and ineffective on most levels. Greek house ministry is and has been the primary focus. But this semester we did two, one kind of spontaneous and the other was planned, and we saw, 7 decisions for the Lord in those meetings? The second one, we had 5 students make decisions for Christ. And one of the students' leaders involved, her name is Christy Mandolini. I don't know if you know Christy, but she's just come on Greek IV staff, hooray. So, Christy spent hours and hours in the prayer room praying for her sisters in her house. And 5 of them came to this outreach. Like, that was huge. That was like the largest portion, I think, of the people who came, who were invited. And of those, several, she felt like made steps toward Jesus, but one began a relationship with Christ that night. So we are seeing God answer prayers, and it's not just within our varsity. Campus Crusade did a Florida evangelism trip in the middle of the prayer room. They shared, I think it was the gospel, the students from UW to over 1,000 people, our students on the beach, and they saw over 100 decisions for Christ. And the leader who was working with me came back and said, "We're convinced it was because we were praying, that the Lord heard our prayers and answered. It was His desire." Also, it's not just at the UW-Madison. There was a prayer room at UW-La Crosse this past year. They prayed for, I think it was 30 days in a garage off campus, and saw over 40 students make decisions for Jesus during that time. So I just to be encouraged, the Lord is moving, prayer is having an impact on our campuses. So thank you. How are we doing for time?
Doing okay.
We are? Okay, do you have any questions?
I have two.
Okay.
One is the prayer room going to continue? And the other question is, do you train your students to do evangelism with the various people who have become Christians, or do they just come up with this on their own? Or?
Well, I don't know how to answer your second question. The first one is, so we had a set time for the prayer room, which is 40 days, and then we extended it for another 40 days because that's how long we had left in the semester. It was neat how that worked. It wasn't 40 days of prayer the second, but it was open, and students would come in throughout the time and enjoyed having a space where they could come. One of the reasons why it's so important to have a space like this on campus is because there is no quiet space on a campus. Everywhere is noise, you know, one type of noise or another. And the students were desperate for a place where they could go to be with God, whether it was alone or in small groups, and this provided it for them, and they were very thankful for it. So, yes, we will continue. The hope is that when next semester comes around, I will again meet with leaders from the different ministries and find out, and maybe we'd like to do another season of prayer and see if that would continue. But again, it's where their vision, what they're doing, and also how the Lord is leading in all this, and we're uncertain right now. So, go ahead.
Is your role
It's divisional, so it's all Wisconsin and Upper Michigan, and my primary focus is just to encourage prayer towards the vision. But I met with Alec a couple weeks ago. I always show up here at the right time. You guys were having your rowing feast, you know, it was perfect. I was like, "Whoo, all right, free food." So anyway, Alec sat down and talked with me, and he said, "How much spiritual formation do I do?" And he said, "I don't see how you can separate the two, praying towards the vision and praying towards intimacy or spiritual formation." And you know what? He's right. Because what we've seen is, as students have come into this space, their intimate relationship with the Lord has grown. And then as a result of that, their passion for reaching the campus has grown as well. So,
could you explain the space? I can see stuff on the floor, and I can see something that looks like UW and State Street at Capitol there.
Yeah. So
walk us through it.
So anyway, so at the center of the room, the first place is the cross, because the focus of the room was intimacy. Our relationship with Christ. So this is a place for confession. So they'd see this as soon as they came in. And then around this is what we call a watchman's walk. But you would walk this path, and there are different places on campus, and you would stop, and there was a kind of a guide to help you pray for each of those particular areas or intercede. And then all around the room, there are different prayer stations. This is the intercession part you're seeing here, but on the other side was intimacy. So there was a tent of intimacy, like the tent of meeting that Moses had, where you could just spend time with the Lord, reflect on Him and on Scripture. There was an equipping station that had, you know, pictures of armor and verses about the armor of God and how the Lord equips us for ministry. There was right here, against the windows, there was an artistic space where people could write out or draw out their prayers to the Lord. And then there was intercession. This is the UW here. This is Bascom Hall. And of course, this is the Capitol, and this is Library Mall in the middle. And this was to kind of represent two of the main spiritual powers that we face on campus. And I think you know what I'm talking about when I explain it. First is a really strong political spirit on campus. You know, what's politically correct, what's right. You know, the way you speak, what you talk about. The fact that, I mean, I have a student that an alumni who dropped out of InterVarsity, got involved with a very liberal church She's actually working there now, and we actually just had this email argument about the fact that she considers my ministry anti-Jewish, because I want to see Jewish people come to know the Messiah, and anti-gay, because I want to see people who are living a homosexual lifestyle come to know Jesus as well. But that's the political spirit, right, on campus and in the city in general that we face. And then the other is a spirit of intellectual pride, this idea that I'm sufficient, why would anyone need a crutch like Christianity, the kind of thing that we're constantly facing on the UW campus. And so these are all intercessions that they wrote up, prayers that they wrote to the Lord on behalf. And the main verse is Isaiah 40, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. That was our focus. Then we had a station here for praying for the Jewish nation and for Jewish students on campus, the 5,000 students. And then over here, you don't see it as a map of the world. And we're praying primarily for the persecuted church and for witness around the globe. So that's kind of a very brief and quick description of the room. This is the only picture I have of prayer in the room. We prayed hundreds of hours in the room and no one took any pictures. Is this something about when people are praying, it's like a holy space and you don't want to take pictures, right? So no one did. And I realized that at the end, I felt like, oh my gosh, all this is gone. But so we have this one kind of blurry photo of a group. This is an InterVarsity. This is actually Chi Alpha. Every major ministry on campus spent some time as a group interceding in the room for the campus. And that way we felt like we were unified as one, praying over the same things. Is there? And then at the end, we closed with a service on Library Mall, a candlelit kind of prayer vigil. So. Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much for a very encouraging report.